Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Cash That. This is your host, Joe Delara, and today, this episode, as always, is brought to you by our good friends at Props.Cash, and we have a brand new deal for you. The second half pass for the NBA season is live, and you can get that with promo code CASHTHATNBA, all one word, for $69, so it's a really nice deal if you're asking me. Look, it's all the NBA for the rest of the season, and you get access to college basketball player prop tools and all their modeling, all of their systems, all their projections for the rest of college basketball season, which, you know, March Madness, it's prime time. You're going to want to have all of that at your fingertips, and you can get that for $69 for the rest of the NBA season with code CASHTHATNBA. It's absolutely instrumental. And I know you guys, like, I know we're a big NBA podcast, obviously. I know that you are going to dabble in the college basketball market just because it's NCAA season, just because it's March Madness. At least go in prepared. So get that with code CASHTHATNBA. Guys, we got a very special guest today. We have Bobby Stanley, aka Prop Holiday of the Prop Shop here, joining us and producer Corey. How are you guys doing today? And Corey, we'll obviously have to start with you, and then we will come to our guest. But Corey, how are you doing?
Recovering well. I guess I'll save that for later, what I've learned. But
okay.
Sunday was a beautiful day. Just leave it at that.
Well, I'm glad to see that you are kind of recovering on a Tuesday evening from Sunday. So that's great to hear. Great to hear. Bobby, how you doing, man? It's good to have you on the podcast. I was excited to record this with you. It's awesome to get to see you, talk to you in the sort of in the flesh, you know?
No, man, it's a pleasure to be here. I found out it's an all Jersey thing going on in the podcast, which is very cool. And a lot of respect for what you've been doing, man. I'm glad to be on, and excited to talk props with one of the better NBA cappers out there. And Corey, I'm guessing what you went to Belmar on Sunday.
No, thank God. What we missed? I did that last year and learned from that mistake. I just went to Rutherford, and you know what? The weather got me more than anything else.
Dude, that is a crazy move. Gotcha. So
I've never been sunburned this early in the year.
I'm glad that you're almost as red as the Devils logo on your hat. So for those of you that are listening on like Spotify or Apple, tune into the YouTube and take a look out at producer Corey. He looks so handsome. But look, I wanted to talk to Bobby a bit, because Bobby, you can see him on Twitter. He's at Prop Holiday. That's two L's in there. And he's also got his Discord, the Prop Shop. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about like how you got started, kind of how you decided to get into like the angles that you're kind of getting into. But how'd you get started kind of in the sports betting world? I know us in New Jersey, it was one of the first states to have legalized sports betting. Is that kind of when you got started, or were you just a degenerate before that as well?
I was a degenerate before it as well. I come from a family of sports bettors, so I always tell this story. When I was a kid, like, we used to have a family pick'em pool. So I would be 8 or 9 years old. Irish Catholic, so a bunch of probably 15, 20 members. And I would get in at like 8 or 9, and I'd put in a pick'em, and it would be $10 every week. And, you know, family get-togethers were at Monmouth Racetrack. And,
hell yeah.
You know, then I got into fantasy football as I got older. I found out I was pretty good at fantasy football. Then DFS became legal in New Jersey. Probably, I think we were like high teens, early 20s. One of my best friends was a bookie, so you can imagine like that, living like that, as you know, in our early 20s, like, we didn't wait in line at DJs. We cut the line. I had a buddy ripping hundreds. Like, it was in my early 20s. It was crazy. And then it became legal, and I was like, okay, this is something I never expected. Let's start playing with the player prop market, because it was my DFS mind background. And just the more we did it, the more information became available to us. And it was through fantasy, originally through fantasy football. We had all these different angles and stats. And then player prop betting, I would say over the last 4 or 5 years, really exploded. I've been doing this on social media for the last 3.5 years. And been able to turn it into kind of a side gig on top of my regular 9-to-5. So it's been cool. I've already taken it 10 times further than I ever expected.
Dude, that's the main thing, honestly. It's like, you know, you kind of can turn like a hobby into something that's profitable for not only you, but for other people as well, which is always kind of nice. Now, I know that you mentioned and talked about some of like the fantasy football stuff or fantasy sports, and like that's kind of a natural progression into player prop betting. And like, I 100% agree with you, because like I loved like fantasy basketball, fantasy football, fantasy baseball. I was one of those sickos. And, you know, you kind of get involved in like really weird players, like it's like you're looking at the guys that are on the waiver wire, because it's like you're not really always able to trade for like the superstars. Like, you're not looking at their stuff in the same way, and I think a lot of times that gives you a huge edge in the player prop market, because the lines on guys like Giannis, Luka, Shea, whatever, they're always like a little bit crisper, they're always a little bit sharper. But do you find that like with some of the role players, that's really where you're able to find a lot of success, or do you not really mind betting on superstars because they have so much like consistency, or so to speak?
If I can get a superstar in a good matchup, if I can get it in a game that means something, if I can get a number I like, I'll do it. I'm not the guy who bets Giannis and Luka every night. It's just not me. But the thing that sucks is all the tertiary guys, all the side pieces that we love, they don't become available till 15, 20 minutes before tip off. And I'm trying to put my kid to bed. So it's tough some nights. I do like the role players. I do like going at different angles. I would throw rookies in that category, at least earlier in the season. We talk about the other guys, but also books don't really know how to handicap rookies early on. I remember the first night, opening night of last year, I gave out Jaden Ivey 15+, Paolo Banchero 20+, their first games ever. I'm like, these guys are NBA ready players. They both hit that mark. But it's just saying, if you can get a rookie early on, there's some value there. If you can get some side pieces, you know, some backup guys, a sixth man, a fourth, fifth guy in a rotation, I think you can make some money.
No, I 100% agree with that. So, you know, obviously you kind of alluded to it as well. It's like, you know, you're trying to put your kid down. That's when all the lineups come out. Like, what's your favorite sport to cap? Because I feel like NBA is like the toughest with the rotation stuff. Obviously, we're in NBA season right now, but do you have a particular favorite, even if it is or isn't NBA?
It's my favorite is NBA. My best record-wise is NFL. I've had more success in NFL than NBA, but this is my best NBA season on record. I love the sport of basketball more than football. I played basketball. I didn't really play football. But it's every single night. My dad was like, he's a high school basketball player, 6'6", big guy. He's the one who got me into basketball. So I have that camaraderie with him where we talk basketball now. So I love handicapping basketball because I love the sport more. Ironically, I'm more successful in NFL, but I'll take it. I mean, I'm not complaining.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you take it either way. But I think that, you know, some of that can be too. It's like when you enjoy the sport versus just like looking at the numbers, like removing yourself from it. Like, sometimes that can kind of get in our way sometimes. You know, it's like when we're looking at sports, I feel like a lot of times people, especially with the NBA, it's like a lot of like, oh, like I know ball. Like there's a lot of that. There's a lot of that out on like Twitter. And it's like, look, I get it. I know that that's important. But it should just be, I think at a point, like just one aspect of your capping, you know what I mean? It's like, if you can watch something and take that and then, you know, complement it with, you know, supporting data or supporting trends, like whatever. I always think that that's like super, super important. Do you feel that like that experience that you've had, like playing ball, your dad, you know, being like obviously playing ball, being able to talk shop with like somebody else, like on a regular basis, just like person to person growing up, do you feel like you've been able to turn that into like a useful tool for you that kind of gives you a little bit of an edge that maybe somebody else doesn't have?
Yeah, I mean, it's easier to do something when you love it. So I'm watching basketball, I want to say six nights a week. Yeah. I try to give myself at least one night off if possible. Understanding it. I come from a family of basketball players. I have three cousins. All of them played D3 or better. My one cousin, she coaches D1 girls. She won player of the year in the NEC. Like, I just come from a basketball family. So I can go on holidays and we'll talk about basketball, and I can talk about Caitlin Clark, or I could talk about LeBron James, and it becomes a family conversation. As far as handicapping, yeah. it's I think it's a big part of it. I had to learn the numbers part of it more these last 3 years because I was just going into it with a basketball mindset. And if you try to think you're the coach, you're going to burn yourself. If you're like, you know, if I was Doc Rivers, I would play Middleton more. Like, no, you don't do that. Just go by what you see on paper. Add a little bit of the basketball stuff afterwards. But if you're trying to out-coach the coach, you're going to get yourself burned in playing player props. So something I've learned.
Dude, I think that's probably one of the best pieces of information that like we've had a guest kind of come on here and say is just like, don't try to be the coach, because it's just, we talk about this all the time. Like, it's like, play so-and-so, or like, why are they not doing this? Why are they not doing that? And I've talked about it to a degree where it's like, look, in the regular season, especially in these matchups, right? Like, we talk about it, we'll say like, all right, like tonight, we're recording this at 9:15 like Eastern time, right? On Tuesday night, coming up, we have the Suns playing the Nuggets. That's one of those matchups where you're like, well, like, why would Denver not do this? Or why would Phoenix not do this? And it's like, they're not doing it because it's the regular season. Like, they're going to just play their rotations. They're not going to do anything out of the ordinary. They're not going to tip their hand for a potential playoff series. I do think, though, that your knowledge of like ball and like watching the games, knowing the X's and O's, that becomes, I think, more valuable in the playoffs, especially where it's like, we know teams make adjustments. Like, after two games, there's almost always an adjustment. There's always a little bit of something different. And it's like, if you can watch that and say like, all right, like, this guy's moving, like, his rotations are bad, or like, this is what's happening. It's like, those are things that don't show up in the box score, but then maybe, you know, you're able to see that and say like, all right, like, I think he might kind of come out of the rotation a little bit because so-and-so is performing better in this particular spot. So definitely a good way to like harmonize both the stats and the ball, and, you know, some of the opportunities for it. But that kind of leads me into a conversation I wanted to have with you a little bit about your process. So we're obviously going to talk through like our Wednesday NBA best bets. We're going to talk through the slate to a degree. I know you've come in with some best bets. I have some best bets. We'll try to talk through pretty much every game or touch on every game. But I wanted to talk to you about your process. Like, when you say like, all right, like, I'm going to look, when I hit you up about the podcast and, you know, it's like, let's come in with some best bets. What do you do? Like, what is your process in order to get that? Like, do you have spots that you're like, you look at the games and you're like, I know I want to target this game, or this player in this matchup right away? Or like, how does it kind of go for you? How do the wheels start turning?
Sure. I mean, a normal day starts with the NBA injury report. You have to know who's playing, who's not playing. Questionable means absolutely nothing now. That's not it doesn't even need to be a designation anymore. But who's going to be out? Who's going to be doubtful, probable, everything like that. So it starts with the injury report. Then I like to go game by game. I start with a game. I start looking at, there's two main sites that I use. It's obviously NBA Advanced Stats, which you can go down a wormhole. I'm sure all of us have. And the other is a website called PBP, Paul Bob Paul Stats.com. And I start looking for inefficiencies. I start looking for advantages. And when I say that, it's opponent shooting. Okay, who's allowing a ton of shots at the rim? Who's not allowing a ton of shots at the rim? Who's allowing a lot of mid-range, a lot of above-the-break threes? Who gives up a ton of catch-and-shoot threes? Who defends the pick-and-roll ball handler well? Who doesn't? Once I have an idea of what the matchup is, then I start looking at the lines. And I say, okay, you know, we'll talk about him in a little bit, but there's a guy who has a rebounding portfolio where 60% of his rebounds come from short and mid-range shots and long and mid-range shots. All right, that's where he's getting a bulk of his rebounds. He's playing a team that shoots a ton of mid-range shots. All right, now let's take a look at his number. Is that a number he's hit with any type of consistency? You know, has he hit it X over the last 10? Does he fare better at home than on the road? These are things I start. So it's more of an art than a science. But it's really big on NBAAdvancedStats.com and really big at diving into the minutia of what is this matchup? Where is something I can exploit or can't exploit in a matchup? They're not giving up a ton of above-the-break threes. Why am I going to bet D'Angelo Russell's threes? They're running them right off the line. Why am I going to bet a three-point shooter against the Indiana Pacers? They're going to get run right off the line. Well, whose assists go most to above the break threes, because he's probably going to have a rough night when it comes to assists. The Pacers are going to run his guys off the line. these are kind of how I start shaping my plays. I'm very fortunate that I work remote. I work from home, where I can put on a hat, take off a hat, put on a hat, go to another laptop, and I can kick this back and forth over the course of an 8-hour day.
Yeah.
But I know that wasn't a precise answer, but it gives you an idea of the stats and the angles that I'm looking at and where I'm looking at these.
Yeah, no, and I think that you did kind of answer, you did really answer the question, because a lot of it too, as the season kind of goes on, like we know like certain things. It's like you've watched the games. Right now we're what, like 3/4 of the way through the season, 80% of the way through the season. It's like you know what's going on. Like, you know what the trends are, you know what the matchups are, you know what teams like to do stylistically. And having that in the back of your head is like always something where you're like, all right, like I can go into this, like I know exactly what to bet. Or like if somebody gets hurt, it's like for like today, you know, it's like if Trae Young is out, then it's like, all right, DeJounte should see a bump. Jalen Johnson should see a bump, like those types of things. Yep. So like those are absolutely all things that, you know, you kind of have, and it's like you're waiting for different spots, you're kind of looking for lines, and you're kind of able to keep an eye out for that. And then it's like even some of the catch and shoot data, yeah, it's like you kind of know it. You might not have the exact stat like at the tips of your, like, you know, at the tip of your tongue, just because you didn't refresh it within the past like 24 hours. But at the same time, it's like when you go into the slate, you're like, all right, well, like I know I can bet like spot up threes against the Bulls.
The Bulls.
Yeah, like not, you know, not, you
it's
know,
the Bulls, it's the Hornets.
Exactly. So
it's the Raptors, it's the Hawks. Yeah.
Yeah. So like when you have that like kind of at your fingertips, or, you know, just in the back of your mind, that's all stuff that goes into your analysis that I think people, you know, it's like obviously you know, you have a product, you have your Discord, you know, like you put out plays on Twitter as well. Like those are all things that sometimes like they don't make it into the write-up every time, but it's like people, like, and I think that's what's nice about like being able to extrapolate on this stuff and like long form on video, like whatever, you're kind of able to like peel back the curtain, yeah, for people and like show people the layers of the onion that go into it besides, you know, maybe the like 200 words that go into a write up or something like that.
Situationally, I look at the Warriors. They're getting 11 points against the Celtics. This doesn't seem right to me. Well, it's their third game in 4 days. They're on a West Coast road trip. That is not a stat, but that is something you have to factor in. How weak are these guys' knees? Like, you have no legs at the end of this road trip. Now I'm thinking that's more rebound opportunities for a guy like Kristaps Porzingis playing these Golden State Warriors who, I mean, their legs are shot. I mean, they're done. So I do want to say situationally, and then something like earlier in the season, I had a lot of success doing this. Your data set's not big, right? It's a smaller data mm-hmm. set earlier in the season. You don't have much to extrapolate against, but you need to have a projection. So what I was doing that gave me a lot of success, probably up until Christmas, was take a guy's, you got his average minutes and his average points. Divide that. I want a points per minute.
Yep.
Then I want to find their median minutes. I don't want their average, because their average can get skewed. If it's an overtime game, they're playing 42 minutes, that's going to throw their you know, 22-game sample size through a loop. That's not good. If it's a blowout or he fouled out and he got benched and he played 12 minutes, that's going to throw off his average. Give me his median, give me his points per minute, and now I have a pretty good baseline of what this guy might do. Now I'm looking at that versus the line I'm getting. Am I getting an edge? Am I projecting him at 22 and his line is 20.5? Yeah, I'm taking that.
Yeah.
So that's something I had success with earlier in the season. The reason it doesn't apply post All-Star break is my data set's big enough now that those averages kind of got swung out. Median is pretty close to his average minutes now. And everything's juiced to the gills. So, but that is something earlier in the season. I had to make a switch. I had to make a pivot and go really deep into these, call them situational stats, like rebounds.
I think that makes a ton of sense, especially because, like, I know we see a lot of like last 10s or last like fives, last 15s, or like head to head, right? And all that matters, like it's all important, but at the same time, it's like the data set is significantly smaller. Like, you are condensing what you're doing, and it makes it a little bit more difficult to try to find, you know, like an edge or some reliable data. So it's like, if you look at, and also like it's not taking into account matchups. So it's like when you look at that and you're like, all right, well, I'm only going to use last 10 hit rate. And then you're not considering the fact it's like, hey, It might be low because this is an awful matchup for him. You know, people like, and I think that that's one of the things where it's like, you have to be multifaceted. So like what you're saying, it's like when you're peeling back the onion, you're saying like, these are the ways that I get into it. This is how I break down my process. This is just one of the tools I have that I use on a daily basis. It really does help you kind of get an edge on the slate. So with that, I'd like to take a look at the Wednesday NBA slate. And I know you're coming in with a couple of best bets. Let's talk about the game that has your first one in it. Let's go look at this game with the Utah Jazz and the Chicago Bulls. Tell us about what you like in this game.
So I like John Collins, over 9.5 rebounds. It's -115 on Bet365. You can get it at -120 on DraftKings. I talked about that rebounding portfolio a little bit earlier. 33% of his rebounds come from short and mid-range shots defensively. 26 come from long mid-range shots defensively. Playing a Bulls team, shooting the most mid-range shots in the league over the last 10. I don't care that it's the last 10. It's DeMar DeRozan. It's Nikola Vucevic. They're going to be shooting mid-range shots. That's just their dynamic. They're middle of the pack in non-restricted paint shots. I'm going to count that as a short mid-range shot. That's 32 shot attempts I'm expecting that are right in John Collins' wheelhouse. And then I look at the number. He's hit it in 6 of the last 8 games. I got no Walker Kessler. That's confirmed. I got no Taylor Hendricks. He's out at least a week. Yeah. He had 15 rebounds against the Wizards the other night. That game's pace was absurd. So it's not, I don't think he's going to get 15 rebounds, but I like 9.5. I think it's a good number. He played 35 minutes in that game. So I trust Will Hardy to be one of the guys that keeps this team competitive. He's not going to throw in the towel. He's not just going to start playing every Tom, Dick, and Harry on his bench. I still think he wants to win games. So I'm rolling with Collins over 9.5 rebounds. I'm an alt-line guy, so if I'm playing that at one unit, which I am, I bring that down to a half a unit, and then I'm playing 12-plus for nearly 2-1. It's like +195.
Yeah, so I liked it. I like the look, too. I think against Chicago, you know, we've seen them kind of run that double big lineup with Vooch and Drummond a little bit, but I can't imagine that they really try to use that against Utah, who, you know, John Collins is a guy that can stretch the floor as well. I want to talk about what you're like, what you just kind of mentioned about like how you're betting, like the flat bets, and then like how you want to bet like the alt lines. Tell me a little bit about that, because I know people are always interested in like ladder opportunities, betting on alternate lines, betting at plus money numbers. For like not, it's like when you're looking at what the output is, you're like, oh, like that's not that much more, and you're giving me that much, and you're going to pay me that much more. What's your like thought process on when you bet these types of things and like why you're doing it, or like why in that type of allocation?
So, I mean, I see guys out there that they have like 8 to 10 plays per night, one unit plays. I would rather have 3 to 5 straight plays every night, and then maybe another 3 that are like half unit, quarter unit, where I'm really doubling down on a guy that I have a strong read against. Instead of me just casting a wide net saying I like these 8 player props, no, I like these 4. And of these 4, I think these 2 guys have the real potential to exceed their line, and I'm getting a decent number on it. So if, you know, what do you value a rebound at? Well, at, you know, not no, I mean, it's just I'm probably having, you know, 4 to 5 units in play every night, but the way I'm dispersing it is this is what I feel really strong about. I don't want to feel namby-pamby about these 4 and okay about these 4. No, I like these 4, and of these 4, these 2 to 3 guys, I think they're really in a spot for a big night, and I'm going to double down on that, and I'm going to play the alt line. And because we're in player props, we have the luxury of doing that, of saying, listen, he's really going for gold. I mean, tonight, we're talking Tuesday night, I love Jalen Johnson. I got him over 15.5. I played him at 20. So I went over 15.5 for one unit. I played him at 20 plus at half a unit. And then I went 25 plus at a quarter unit. They're giving me 8-1 on the second option on this Hawks team. So I don't mean to backtalk, but I'm trying to give you an idea of how I'm viewing my board. I would rather have on less guys than cast a wide net. But some people say, oh, you're overexposed. So if that guy fouls out, you're done, right? Like your night's done. Or if it's a blowout, your night's done. That's the downside to betting this way. But I just, if I'm going to put in the research and feel confident in these guys, that's where I'm putting my money.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of understand what you're getting at too, because like when I try to bet on players, I'm usually looking at spots where I think that they should exceed the line by like not just like eke over it, but I like them to like really hit the line. Like I don't really want to find spots where I'm like, oh, like my margin is thin, especially on an over. It's one thing if I'm going on an under, but especially like on an over, I'm like, so I need like in my projections, like, or the way that I, you know, like the way I'm capping this, I need like a 95th percentile performance to go over. That's not a great opportunity, right? So I think that like what you're saying is basically like you feel like the baseline, if you're betting it, you're like, I think that this is at least like maybe a 40th percentile outcome. So I think that, you know, what the odds are giving me, what the implied odds are giving me for some of these alts or some of these like the ladder opportunities, is not in line with the way that I'm or like the way that you're projecting it, right?
And I shop it on top of that. So if my, you know, if my baseline is on DraftKings, I'm going to Bet365, FanDuel, and ESPN Bet and DraftKings and saying, okay, so then what's 20 plus? If over 15.5 is -120, sure. I'm shopping around that 20 plus. And then I'll spread that half unit there. So it's fun, man. I like it. This style of betting, I like it a lot more than saying I like these 8 props and I'm hoping I go 5-3 every night.
Yeah, I totally get what you're saying, because it's like when you it's such an interesting conversation, because I think that there are a lot of people that like to have just like a couple plays, and there's other people like on the opposite end of the spectrum that don't mind having like a million plays based on like some of the variants, some of the edges that they find. But I think a lot of it comes down to not only like time. I think honestly, time is probably the biggest one, because it's like you just can't like to have that many, or you know, like it's harder to have that many if you don't have like the time to have like 50 plays. Like you have to really concentrate to have 50 plays. So and it's a little bit more model based. So I totally understand what you're saying. I wanted to turn then to your second bet. So this game, where I have a bet from this game as well. This is a game between the Sacramento Kings and the Los Angeles Lakers. I think this is going to be a pretty exciting game. The Lakers are 2.5-point home favorites. We're seeing some threes in the market right now. Do you have any thoughts on the game as a whole before we kind of dive into your best bet from this game?
I have to admit, I'm a LeBron stan. I try to leave that out of social media as much as possible. When it comes to this game, I actually favor the Kings getting the three. They beat them twice already in the season, but when they beat them was interesting to me. The Lakers started off the season extremely hot. But the two victories that the Kings picked up, I think, were both before Thanksgiving. They played them two games early in the season. I don't think it's a great matchup for the Lakers on paper. They're playing well over the last few. They're playing well since post All-Star break. I do think they're picking it up, but I like the Kings getting three. I think them as road underdogs against the spread. I think it's 60%. I'm not positive. But I just know that the Lakers' back half is going to be rocky, and I don't trust Darvin Ham, to be completely honest. So on the game, I like the Kings with the three. My play is D'Angelo Russell under 5.5 assists. So you could say there is some correlation there. I mean, this guy is riding the high of all highs. He's playing extremely well. But looking at the number, looking at the play, so under 5.5 assists, it's -135. A lot of juice. My suspicion is by tomorrow it'll be at 4.5, but Kings allowing the third fewest field goal attempts in the restricted area, fewest above the break threes over the last 10. For Russell, 68% of his assists come from those two zones. So it's a tough matchup for him as a ball handler. I mean, he is coming off the high of the other night. LeBron's a perpetual questionable status. If LeBron's a scratch, that's the only downside. I don't like betting a Lakers game this early, because LeBron's just on the injury report, and if he says, "Nah, I'm going to go watch Bronny tomorrow night," he's out, and now this play is done.
Yeah.
But if LeBron plays, I like D'Angelo Russell under 5.5 assists. I think it's a bad matchup for him, and you're paying the juice for it, but I'm okay with it. I actually think this game goes the Kings' way.
Yeah, I like that spot. I think this is a tough game. Like I have to write the game guide for the Action Network, so I was trying to get your unpolluted opinions on what you thought about the game just before I, you know, see if I get some bias one way or the other. So I think this is an interesting game. Like, you know, looking at, I always look at some of their tools, like I like to use dunks and threes a lot for like adjusted net rating, stuff like that. Kings are a little bit better. They're 15th. They're plus 0.7 adjusted net. The Lakers are an even zero. They're plus 0.0. And like you said, you know, the the Kings are actually, they're 11-7 as a road dog against the spread this season. Whereas if you look at the Lakers have been one of the, like, they're about like league average. They're 10-12 against the spread as a home favorite. But the Lakers are always like a little bit overvalued, it feels, just based on the fact that they are the Los Angeles Lakers. They have LeBron James. It's just so much harder to bet on them. My best bet from this game is I am looking at what do I have here? I'm looking at De'Aaron Fox over 25.5 points. I was looking at PA. The reason I'm not on PA is that his assist rate just drops precipitously on the road. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that the road players on the Kings kind of are ass on the road. Like, they all just suck on the road. I don't know what it is. Like, Keegan Murray is just dramatically worse. And I've just never really seen anything like it. So I think this is a good opportunity for Fox to kind of take it into his own hands. It's a good matchup for him. He's gone over in 5 of 6 against the Lakers, averaging 30.7 points in those games, and he's over in 61% of road games, averaging 27.6 points per game. So I like De'Aaron Fox to go over the 25.5 points that he's listed at here against the Los Angeles Lakers in what should probably be a pace up spot for Sacramento.
And that's, and that ties into I think the Kings getting three, because if you're the Lakers, you're gonna have a tough time trotting Austin Reeves out there for a full 35 minutes against De'Aaron Fox. He's going to get thrashed. So now you're diving into your bench a little bit, and I don't like Darvin Ham tinkering with things. I don't think it ends well. So as soon as you throw the Lakers off their game and you send Reeves to the bench, and now we got, you know, Cam Reddish, I think, is back. We get a little bit more Torian Prince than we ideally want, and it becomes the rotations get clunky. I think Darvin Ham does a, he's just not doing a good job with that. It all ties in together. I think everything we just said, if you want to do an SGP, I'm not recommending you do it. Hey, but if you went Russell under, Fox over, and you took the 3 points, there's a good amount of correlation there.
Yeah, I don't hate that at all, especially with the fact that I think the Fox play ties in even to the D'Lo play, because it's like D'Lo, Reeves, like it's tough. Like, they're gonna have a real tough time defending De'Aaron Fox. So I think that, you know, they could get in foul trouble. They could wind up being forced off the court. We'll just kind of have to see how that shakes out. But I do like kind of like the collective agreement that we've made here. It's like, I do think this might be a good spot for the Kings here, even though it's on the road in LA against the Lakers. And, you know, you just never know. Like, you might get some extra CLV if like LeBron is out or AD is out or somebody like that.
Yeah, I'm with you, man.
So I do want to talk about, let's see what other games we got on the slate here. I know we got some good ones. One of the ones that I think is, you know, like an absolute stink fest is the Memphis Grizzlies versus the Philadelphia 76ers. What are your thoughts on, you know, some of these teams that are, like, obviously the Sixers aren't tanking, but what are your thoughts on some of these teams with like the Grizzlies that are just like, they're bad, they're tanking, like they are putting out like a G League roster there. What are your thoughts on like capping those teams or like betting them? Do you just try to avoid them? Like, what is your thought process on like those like really bad teams in general?
I avoid them. I don't think I've given out a Grizzlies prop since pre-All-Star break. I really don't touch it. It's not worth it to me. Partially because I can guess wrong on a rotation. Even if I trust the minutes, I can still guess wrong. I could look at these guys. Joe, I watch an absurd amount of basketball. There's names on this Grizzlies roster. I'm like, who the hell is that
who
guy?
Are you?
So I don't want to put my money there when I'm uncertain. And then on top of all of it, it's a blowout potential every night. Now, obviously the Sixers game, it's a 5-point spread. Maybe it's not a blowout potential, but I just stay away. There's usually enough action every night that even if it's a 5-game slate and the Grizzlies are one of them, I want nothing to do with it. So I know it's not a fun answer, but I stay away. But there are some fun, bad teams to bet. Like, I love the Hornets. I caught on the Hornets the second game after they traded for Grant Williams and Bertans and the Oklahoma City backcourt of Micić and Mann. And they've been a blast to bet. Like, they're a fun team. They're a competitive team. They suck. Like, they're not going to win games, but they cover. They're competitive. They're a very fun team to bet now. So it's not that I don't bet bad teams. I just don't bet the Grizzlies. but there are some bad teams. There are some bad teams that you can have fun with, man. The Hornets being one of them.
Yeah, I totally appreciate that, because there are like some bad teams where you're just like, yeah, this team sucks. They're not enjoyable to watch. Like, I'm getting nothing out of this. So I totally am there with you. This game, the Grizzlies Sixers game, I think is like, it's definitely like a gross one. We'll see if Tyrese Maxey is going to play or not. It's a back-to-back. Maxey sat tonight or last night against the Nets. Right now, it's a close game against the Nets. It's 92-91, surprisingly enough. We'll see whether or not Maxey plays. Maxey's obviously instrumental for Philadelphia to kind of, you know, be as good as they are. This Nets team got actually lost to Memphis the other day as like a 9 or 10 point favorite, which was crazy. So we'll see about this tomorrow. My guess is the line is kind of indicative of the fact that I think Maxey probably plays. I think they're hedging a little bit. Maybe it goes to like a 7 if Maxey does play. But it's definitely just something to kind of watch out for, I think, moving forward. The next game that I think is like great on this slate, I think it's probably the next best game on the slate, is the Bucks versus the Warriors. The Warriors are 2.5, 3 point home favorites here. This is a great game, I think, just overall. Like, it's going to be one of those games, like, I want it on my TV. I'm a little upset that it's like, it's at 9 o'clock, which is like fine, but it's also, that also means it's going to run into the Lakers and the Kings at 10 o'clock. So it's, or 10 o'clock or 10, I think it's 10:30 actually. So, you know, it's a little bit different, but we'll see. What do you think about this game? Do you have anything that you like from this game? I know I have one player prop that I'm looking for, but how do you feel about both of these teams moving forward? Obviously, they're positioned differently in the playoff picture, but how do you feel about either the Bucks or the Warriors? Obviously, both teams have kind of gone through a number of significant changes, whether it's rotations, coaches, what have you.
I think the Warriors are, I mean, they'll be in the playoffs, but I think the other night against Boston was a real, I mean, you can call it passing of the torch. You can call it closing the door, whatever you want to say. I think they're a first round exit as far as the Warriors are concerned. When I look at the Bucks, I was waiting for them to turn the corner with the Doc Rivers thing. I know a lot of people hate Doc Rivers. I can't really argue against you. I don't think he's that bad. If you start diving into some of those playoff blown losses, I mean, if Ben Simmons can make a rebound, we're probably not having this conversation about Doc Rivers.
Way
we won't have this conversation. But I think Doc Rivers knows how to coach stars, and that's what you have when you have Dame Lillard and Giannis. So they're probably, I mean, with a healthy Brunson, they're the third best team in the East, I would say, right now. The Miami Heat are starting to click. We'll see where that ends as we get closer to May. But anytime you have Giannis and Dame, I mean, in a 7-game series, they should at least make it out of the first round. I'll say that much. They've won, what are we looking at? They've won six straight. They've won 8 of their last 10. Yeah, they've won 8 of their last 10. Giannis missed the last game. I don't know. I don't feel great about them defensively. They can't stop pick and roll ball handlers, which is a problem in the East. I don't know. I feel bad for Giannis. I thought the team was going to be a little bit better with Dame. Dame feels like he's at a different part of his career. Like, I'm waiting for the stretch of games where Dame becomes Dame, and we're just not getting it. We're getting 21, 22. His lines were like 23, 24 and a half at some point in the middle of the season. And I'm like, this isn't Dame Lillard, or this isn't the Dame Lillard we know. So,
yeah,
I don't know, man. Tomorrow it should be a decent game. I like them getting the 3.
Yeah, I feel like Dame always kind of gets up against Curry too. Like, I think he likes that matchup. He likes that opportunity. Yeah. So definitely something that I think is, you know, we can kind of keep an eye on. The one player that I really was looking at, I think Giannis is going to have a great game. The big thing to me is that Golden State kind of changed their rotations. they really change their rotations, and like they're really running just Draymond Green at the five. You're running more Kuminga. You're running a little bit more Podziemski. So I think that this is a good matchup for Giannis. To me, when I'm looking at this, Giannis's points prop is at 30.5. He actually averages more points on the road than at home. He's averaging 33 points per game on the road. He's gone over this line in 18 of 28 games, 64% of the time. And he had 33 against Golden State earlier this season. My big look at this is he's going to be the biggest dude on the court. I think he's going to be able to get whatever he wants in any type of situation. Draymond is one of those guys that like can adequately defend him, or maybe you throw Draymond and Kuminga at him. But I think to a certain degree, it's like there's only so much you can do to like slow a guy like Giannis down, especially like when he wants to get to the rack. So I think 30.5, we've been looking at some like 31s, 32s for him. I think the 30.5 is like a touch low. So I'm going to grab the over 30.5 in this spot against the Golden State Warriors. The other thing is one of these like weird trends, like a lot of people always talk about, it's like, oh, like they just got home. It's like they've been on the road for a long time. They just got home. They're going to be comfortable, like whatever. There's so much that goes on like with coming home from like a long road trip. It's like you got to see the family, you got to see the girl, you got to see the side, like you got to see everybody, like, right? Like you spend time on that. You have to spend time. You got to pick up your dry cleaning. You got to like do whatever, like get your car, do whatever you got to do. All these dudes like are coming back and it's like, hey, like we just got our asses handed to us in Boston. They had flight difficulties getting there. There were some difficulties with the plane. Steve Kerr like benched everybody to start halftime. This might be a spot where like maybe it's a bounce back for Golden State, but at the same time, like I kind of like the Bucks here. Like I think I'm more likely to take the Bucks plus +3. I'll grab the points. I'll grab the full possession. Both of these teams are bad in this spot, like situationally. Golden State's not good against the spread as a home favorite. Milwaukee's been just not great as an underdog all season. They also just haven't really been listed as a dog very much. So it's definitely a smaller sample size, but. I like the Bucks. I like Giannis to go over the 30.5 points. I don't know if you have any thoughts on Giannis at all.
No, I mean, I agree with your handicap on Giannis. I mean, anytime you get in that range from 29 to 31.5, I'd probably stay away from 30.5. I like this, especially down the stretch of the regular season.
Yeah.
One thing we didn't mention, but we're seeing lines on Andrew Wiggins. So Wiggins is back.
Yeah, I think he's out.
I love looking at on-off stats on PBP. So what does it mean with Wiggins on-off? Who does well when he's on? Who does poor when he's off? Klay Thompson averages almost 4 points more per 100 possessions with Wiggins off the court. So now Wiggins comes back. Is this a fade Klay opportunity?
Maybe. Yeah.
Kuminga's another one. 3 points fewer per 100 possessions with Wiggins on the floor. Now Wiggins is back. We're still going to be seeing the same lines on Kuminga, presumably, that we've seen for the last 4 or 5 games. So you may be able to get a little bit of value there with him seeing 3 points fewer with Wiggins on the court. So little things that I start to look at.
I also think with
the on and off, and now we get an injury that changes.
100%. And like, I also think it's like a bad matchup for Kuminga anyway. Like he's great at like cutting. He's great at slashing. Obviously he can make like the jumper every time, like every so often, but like his bread and butter is like cutting to the rack. And you got to do that with Giannis and Brooke Lopez. Mm-hmm. Good luck, buddy. Like that is not like a great matchup for you. So I do like that look on maybe a little bit of an under for Kuminga. Definitely a nice angle there. Looking at the slate, like the Cavs play the Hawks. I'm a little surprised. It's a back-to-back. The Cavs are playing on a back-to-back. The Hawks are playing on a back-to-back, but both teams are traveling. Cleveland obviously to Atlanta. Atlanta is traveling from New York back to Atlanta. Donovan Mitchell's not playing. Mm-hmm. I'm a little surprised the Cavs are only 1 point. They're 1 point dogs, 1 point favorites, kind of bouncing around depending on the book right now. What do you think about them without Donovan Mitchell? Are they a team that you're like interested in, or like that you like any of the pivots with without Donovan? Or is it just kind of like, I don't really trust this team very much. Like I think they're offensively limited.
They're a team that bounced around this season where it's like, are we not talking about them enough? They went on that run in the middle of the year. Are we talking about them too much? We know they're not really going to do anything in the playoffs. I think they're a good basketball team. Yeah. I think they're a way better basketball team than the Hawks. I would take the point. I would give the point. I don't know why they're a dog. I like Darius Garland. I like their Twin Towers approach. They're going to slow the game down against the Hawks, which is not a game that they're accustomed to winning. And they're probably going to bully him in the paint. So I think the Cavs are a great story this year. But they're probably fourth or fifth in the East, which we didn't really see coming because we didn't know what was going to happen to Donovan Mitchell at the deadline. But I would easily take them with the point. I would give the point. They're just a way better basketball team. Bickerstaff's a way better coach. I mean, I don't mean to shit on Quinn Snyder, but he hasn't done for this team what I expected him to do, even though he came in so late. So I would take the Cavs. I think they're a team you don't want to play every night. Let's put it that way. They're not an easy out on any night.
Yeah, I think it's also like just a rough matchup. I mean, like the Knicks are about to lose to Atlanta right now, but Knicks just hit you with a fucking baseball bat like every time you play them. Doesn't matter who's playing. Like it's a rough game. And then you got to go play a physical game against Cleveland. Cleveland actually just pulled off a massive comeback against the Boston Celtics. They just won this game 105-104, and they were going into the fourth quarter down like 18 points going into the fourth quarter. So incredible comebacks, terrible for my Jaren Allen PRA under, because I thought we might've been cruising to like a sweaty, sweaty win when he started the fourth quarter with 30, and you know, it was a 17 point lead. But look, Cleveland is really good. Boston, you know, is susceptible to, you know, some collapses like this when the three ball isn't falling. So the rest of the slate, nothing like super stands out to me right now. I don't know if there's anything or any game that maybe you have like a lean on or something like that. Otherwise, like I want to talk and like kind of dive into the futures market briefly before we kind of get into pods and recs.
No, man, let's talk futures.
So like with Boston, right? So like Boston, you know, they just kind of blew this lead. They scored 17 points in the fourth quarter to Cleveland's 34 in a 1-point win for Cleveland. What are your thoughts on Boston? You know, do you think that they should be the odds on favorite to win not only the East, they're a minus number. And then what do you think about them, you know, to win the title? Do you think it's like really Boston's to lose right now just based on path, or is there a team that you like more to win the NBA title this year?
I was on VSiN a week ago and I said that I had concerns about the Celtics with their bench, with how they close games, and with their coach Mazzulla. I think he can be out coached by a Spoelstra and probably by a Tibbs and things like that. Their starting five is easily the best five in the league. I don't know what we're going to get out of a Hauser and I do like Peyton Pritchard. I do think he's a piece. I really don't think they're going to be tested coming out of the East. I love the Knicks. I don't know if they're going to have enough time to gel. That would be the only thing that scares me. If we got OG and Randall and Mitchell back, I say we, cause we're all from Jersey here. If we got them back, I don't know, a week ago, then maybe I could say, all right, there's enough for me to say they're the team that gives the Celtics teams fits. I don't know if it's going to be enough time. So let's just assume the Celtics win the East, because I feel good about that. Their starting five is the best five in the league. I look at the West. This is where it gets a little murky for me. Denver is Denver. I have concerns about Braun getting that Bruce Brown role, getting a bigger role. They're going to miss Bruce Brown in the playoffs. I truly believe that. Repeating is not easy in any sport. I don't care if you have the best player in the league, which Jokic is. You can make knocks on the other teams in the West. You can make knocks on the Minnesota Timberwolves offensively. They don't have a go-to. I'm still waiting on Anthony Edwards' go-to move. You know, like Dallas and it's Luka, he's going left, he's pulling up, he's getting a shot. If it's Jason Tatum, he's getting you in the post, he's getting a good shot off. I don't know what Anthony Edwards' shot is, and that's what we're going to need to see from him in a Western Conference Finals in a Game 7 situation. I really like the Thunder. I don't know if they have any rim protection. I think they're going to get abused probably by the Lakers. I love their team top to bottom. I love how they've set up that team. I just think it's too young. They needed rim protection at the deadline. I'm shocked they didn't make a move for a Jared Allen or go get a Nick Claxton. That could be something we see next year. I think the West is deep and there's a lot of parity there. I didn't even mention the Suns yet or the Mavericks.
Yeah.
But Boston, I think, has the cakewalk to the finals. And when they get there, I don't know who's waiting for them in the West. But it should be a good finals. I like that we have parity for a change on one side.
I think this is definitely one of the most exciting. Yeah, right. I think this is definitely one of the most exciting seasons. The East is so interesting because I do agree with you with Boston. Like, the thing with Boston is, like, it's not, like, you can't really say it's like it's going to be a health thing. Obviously, you need, like, Porzingis. Like, I think he's super important, but they're, I think, 13-3 straight up without Porzingis this year. So it's like, they're still really good. I think the one dude, like, they can't miss is obviously Tatum. You know, if Tatum goes down for any reason, like, they're going to be in major trouble. But I mean, that's like saying any team, like, their best player, like, obviously they're going to be in trouble. The one thing about the East that I think is so interesting is the East is surprisingly, like, competitive, right? Like, there are four teams, like, seeds 4-8 are all within 3 losses of each other now. So I think that that's really interesting right now, at least in the Eastern Conference in terms of matchups. I think your point about Boston really makes a lot of sense, though. It's like they should make it through. Like, they can cruise right now. They can kind of coast. Like, they really shouldn't have any difficulties getting through the East, at least on paper, right? The starting five is just absolutely elite, and they're like on par with some of the best starting fives, like, period, in the NBA ever, in terms of like what the advanced metrics are saying. Mm-hmm. In the West, I just think it's like, it's going to be really tough because I think it's so matchup dependent. And we're going to have to see, like, who's playing who, or what are the matchups? What does the bracket look like? Is there a spot in the bracket where it's like, all right, well, if you're in the 2-3, good luck. Like, guess what? Like, you're playing Denver now. You know, like, that's who you're playing. Or, you know, if you kind of make it to the 1 seed, you know, or if you're in the 4, like the 4-5, it's like, oh, great. Like, we're playing Minnesota. Like, maybe you'd prefer to play Minnesota. Maybe you prefer to play Oklahoma City, and avoid Denver. But nobody really has the luxury in the West to try to jockey for position. It's like, we got to just get in. Like, it's like, you're really looking at a situation where if you're in the play-in tournament, it's like, wow, like, you're going to get Luka in an elimination game. You're going to get, and then if you win that, or if you lose that, you're going to end up with LeBron and Steph Curry. Like, one of them is coming at you in an elimination game. So it's definitely a really tough scenario. So I'm definitely fascinated to see it. I still think that Denver is the best team in the Western Conference. I understand the concerns about not having Bruce Brown. But at the same time, their starting lineup is just so good. And it feels like they've been coasting this year. Like, when I watch them, I'm like, are they really, like, they're not even fucking trying. Like, and then, like, you know, it's like they've come out of the All-Star break and they've won 6 in a row now. And they've just looked tremendous. So it looks like maybe they'll make it 7 against Phoenix, who's going to be without Devin Booker. But it just, to me, I think that the Wolves and the Thunder have, questionable, like, playoff history or lack thereof. And then, like, you know, the Clippers, so many issues with, you know, like, Paul George, James Harden in the playoffs, that type of thing. And then it's like a lot of unproven talent. So I still think that Denver is the best team in the Western Conference, but the road is much more difficult. And I think that's why you're seeing the odds the way that they are, where Boston is basically a prohibitive favorite just based simply on path.
I want to make one. I have to come on your show and make a hot take. Okay. I have to say this in the Eastern Conference. We can snip this and clip it in May when I'm right, if I'm right. Right now, the Eastern Conference, 3-4-5-6, as it currently stands today on March 5th. Cavs 3, Knicks 4, Sixers 5, Magic 6. If it stays like that or jockeys between those four, the Magic get out of the first round. I think the Magic will win a playoff series. If they can get Philly or Cleveland, they will win in the first round.
I can kind of get there. I think that, you know, Philly, a lot of it's going to depend on Embiid, but at the same time, it's like, if he comes back, like, how healthy is he going to be? And then with Cleveland, it's just, they just always, like, they just, I can't figure them out, man. Like, I cannot figure out Cleveland. Like, they've been really good. They feel like one of those teams that should be really good, and then, like, I watch them and I'm just never that impressed, if that makes sense. But at the same time, like, I understand the talent is there, but I do think that those were two teams that kind of could get, like, ripe for an upset.
I also just love Orlando. I love the team they built. I wish they went and got one vet. Like, go get Chris Paul and just have him play 6-man minutes and teach these young guys how to play playoff basketball.
Yeah.
And that's a team you don't want to mess. Go get Draymond Green, to teach guys how to play playoff basketball. And that Orlando team is a team you don't like. You want no part of.
Yeah.
So
like
I'm high on Bancaro. I'm high on the Magic.
Yeah. I like that. I like that angle. I like the thought. I do think they could kind of like make some noise in the playoffs. Definitely big upset that you're calling for, but I don't think that it's impossible given, you know, kind of depending on the matchup. But with that, wrapping up our NBA conversation here, producer Corey, how are you doing, dude?
I'm doing better, Joe.
All right. I'm glad to see that you've recovered in the last like 45 minutes since we started the pod. Yeah. What do you got for the people for Pods and Recs?
Two recommendations. They're seasonal. One, okay. Sunscreen. Get it out now. Those hot days can get you real quick. I got burned already. Number two, St. Paddy's Day parades are going down. Don't get caught slipping. Don't be the amateur out there, okay? Mix in a water. You don't have to start at 7 a.m. Don't be the sloppy guy.
That's great advice. Great advice. People needed that, I think. I do think ordering water,
wise
ordering water is always such a weird move. But like I've gotten older,
I'm not saying order from the bar. Just find it somewhere.
Just get it. Like you get it somewhere.
No, or throw in. I'm a vodka club guy. So like every third vodka club, you just say, let me just get a club and lime, and then
see that's a way more subtle way to go about it. I like that.
Yeah, that is. Unless they give you like the different cup, nothing worse than like if you ever do that and they just give you like this, it's like, what is this cup? Like you gave me like a fucking cup that's this big because I ordered like not an alcoholic beverage and you just look like that guy.
So, alternatively, you ever see those like shallow, like little tiny shit cups that they keep by water coolers?
Yeah.
Those are dumb.
Yep.
Those are just getting spilled all over the place. That's useless. Don't do that. Just get a regular cup.
Yeah, the only time those are good are at Bar A when it was Beat the Clock, and you'd get those for 25 cents. Those little cups were okay.
Different situation.
You a tray. Yeah. You say, let me get a tray. And you throw $5 down.
Exactly. That's the only way to situation. Do it. So Bobby, as you kind of see, Pods and Recs is a part of the show where we just give recommendations about literally anything. I kind of warned you to come on with something. What do you got for the people for Pods and Recs?
Well, I thought you said non-sports
related recommendations. So it could be anything. It could be a sports recommendation if you really want, but it's just a recommendation for the people, something that you like or something that you enjoy that you want other people to know about that they probably didn't know about before. Or maybe they did. Like I've recommended Crock-Pots probably like 15 times.
Joe recommend something food related. Watch.
Yeah. I'll hit you with mine, so that way you have a minute to kind of assess.
Go ahead,
So I got a grill. So I got the house, had to get the grill. I'm glad I bought the grill because we had that like unseasonably warm day the other day. My recommendation as like a new grill owner is to just have fucking two propane tanks. I just immediately bought two. You have to have the second one. Like there's got to be nothing worse than like just running out of gas and you're like, well, now what do I do? Like you have to, cause you can't just like move that food somewhere else. Like you have to have one on deck. So my piece of advice is have another, like pay the extra money. Like it's what, like it's $40 for the extra deposit. Mm-hmm. You have two tanks. Just make sure that you have a second one. So that way you always have some gas in the chamber, you know? You gotta be able to cook your food. You gotta be able to grill. So my recommendation is to have a second propane tank.
You know, $40. Go ahead. $40 is still gonna be less money than all the meat you just wasted from Costco when you ran out of fucking propane halfway through cooking the chicken.
Yeah, dude.
So that's a great, you know what? It makes sense financially to just do it.
Yeah, just nut up, take fucking like half a unit and go get another propane tank. It's not a big deal. Just make it happen.
Wow, did you just fucking unit shame me?
Yeah, I did.
It's been a rough year, asshole, okay?
The second piece of advice is I've been... I love seafood. make yourself like a nice like clam sauce right now. Like steam some clams, make like a white wine butter sauce, and just fucking like crisp up some garlic bread and have it with like make a little bit of side of like linguine if you really want. You don't even need it if you don't like it, it's not necessary. I would just recommend it. But look, I just did it the other day. Highly, highly enjoyable meal. Make sure though that you do it like the day before or like 2 days before your garbage goes out, and just take all those fucking shells and put them right in the garbage. Like, this is not, if you have an apartment, do not like, and you don't get your garbage taken every day, don't do it. Just do not do it. But if you have the ability to throw it outside or something like that, you have a lot more flexibility with when you can make your clam sauce. So that's my second recommendation, not grill related. Although you could, you know, you could put your clams in the grill if you really wanted to. So Bobby, now what do you got for us while I just, you know, stalled for time?
I think I got the picture. All right. So I would recommend, obviously everyone here, if you're listening, you watch a ton of sports. I watch a ton of sports. We either have wives or significant others. Get into a shitty show with your significant other. I got into Love is Blind this last, I don't know, month. And now we have, like, me and my wife bullshit about Love is Blind. The show's terrible, but it's hysterical. We watch Love is Blind, and we watch Love on the Spectrum. And they are it's quality TV.
Dude.
They're both on Netflix. Get yourself a non-sports reality dating show that you could kibitz with your significant other with, because your mind is numb to sports and you need something else. It's like, oh, this is stupid and I need to laugh and I need to make fun of them and I need to send you memes during the day so that you know that we're both into this crappy show to show you that I don't watch sports 24/7. So find a shitty show and bullshit with your wife about it. That is my recommendation. Like, it could be any show, but I gave you two good ones.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, that is my recommendation.
What are you? Who's crazier? Who's the crazy one? Is it Jimmy or Chelsea right now?
Megan Fox.
That one.
Oh no, I'm team. So there's four. I'm good. This is great. There's four couples they're down to. One I'm team girl. One I'm team guy. One I hate the entire couple, and one I actually like the couple. Like, good for them. They're gonna make it. I am team Jimmy. She's whacked. She was in a reality show based on no looks. And she's like, some people tell me I look like Megan Fox. Like, that's a dude, you're cheating. Like, you just ruined the whole point of the show. You're dropping lies about your looks.
Doesn't look like Megan Fox either. So, spoiler alert. It's
like the crimson chin.
Yeah. So guys, look, I know this is perfect. So like, while you're watching these shows, while you're like, you know, sending memes to your significant other, you know, be sure to tune in to like some of our work here. Bobby, tell everybody where to find you. Hit everybody with your socials, what have you, real quick.
I am on X and Instagram at Prop Holiday with two L's. I give out two articles a week through PicksWise. I'm on VSIN Sharp Money at least twice a week giving picks. And I have a Discord called the Prop Shop where I give out all of my picks and I give away some money. And we make fun jokes like we did here today.
Yeah, so I appreciate Bobby's work. He does good work. He threw me in the Discord with him, so I'm talking shop, popping in every so often there as well. So we always have a good time. But obviously, like between your betting on sports, watching your Love is Blind, seeing like who is the crimson chin or not, there is one thing that we are not going to be blind to, and that is going to be betting on player props. And you can get that NBA second half package for the nice price of $69 with code CashThatNBA, and you will be entered to win an annual pass to props.cash. That's a $200 value if you use our code CashThatNBA to get that. So that's going to keep you from being blind. You're going to be able to find the right props, use the right modeling, use their projections, see what the matchup is, how is it good, how is it bad, how is this a great spot to bet on somebody. So that way you don't go in thinking that you've got a Megan Fox and you have a Chelsea instead. So with that, let's continue to cash that.